Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I'm your host, Kim Ullman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. I am back from my hiatus. I took a break last week. I thank co-host Dave and those who called in for holding down the fort. Boy, what a whirlwind few weeks it's been, and I couldn't even fill or fit everything into one show, everything that's gone on, and we'll talk a little bit about some of it. But to get started, like we do every week, start with the political rhetoric generator. And, this week's randomly generated political rhetoric. Sorry, something just make me laugh. Like, randomly generated political rhetoric is, I want an America where Al-Qaeda insurgents and government bureaucrats cannot take away our love for Jesus. It was randomly generated, I swear to God. random correlation this week, where we randomly correlate two things that aren't correlated. They appear correlated, they are correlated, but there's obviously not causation. This week is an inverse correlation. The suicides by hanging, strangulation, and suffocation is inversely correlated with per capita consumption of whole milk. Obviously, people drinking whole milk doesn't stop other people from committing suicide, but it doesn't matter. That's the the point of the spurious correlations, is to show that correlation is not causation, not by a long shot. And, I'll tell you, that's not a good sign. I'm already yawning at the beginning of the show. It's been a long couple of weeks, folks. I apologize. But causation's not correlation, or correlation's not causation, excuse me. And that's the point of that. Talked to co-host Dave for a little bit before the show today, and he's got a burning itch to talk about Ebola, and so I'm not going to get too deep into that, other than I'm pretty sure we're just stupid. I think that's pretty much what it comes down to at this point. There's nothing about the Ebola situation that makes any sense whatsoever. I don't know. The whole thing just seems dumb to me. But I bring it up only because, you know, we have the couple of nurses here that are all causing the brouhaha now. And story about how Obamacare is causing layoffs for nurses, which, of course, it is, because costs have to be cut somewhere. And hey, anybody who's worked at a hospital knows the low people on the totem pole. Yeah, those are nurses. That's why they do all the actual work at the hospital. So the first people cut are the nurses, and that really shouldn't be that big of a surprise. We'll talk more about Ebola and all the craziness around all that with co-host Dave here in a little bit, once we get rolling on the show, when co-host Dave comes on. This is one that's kind of weird. You know, we talk a lot about Big Brother, and we talk a lot about government controlling messages, and we're going to talk a lot about that here in just a little bit. But one of the things that's interesting now is the government is doing a quote-unquote study on so-called subversive propaganda in social networking. Basically, the National Science Foundation is monitoring Twitter, and they're doing so with the purpose of figuring out where memes originate, what memes are – what they're doing is they're deciding what memes are deemed socially disturbing. In other words, not graphic, but disturbing to society and to the calm, peace, and harmony that there isn't. But this is kind of interesting. They're spending millions of dollars to basically monitor Twitter. And it's kind of scary what they're doing. They're doing so to specifically monitor certain political ideologies on Twitter. And the article here, and this is from the Washington Post, and it's an opinion piece published in the Washington Post. The guy who wrote this is a member of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. And essentially his premise here is that this is very 1984-like. This is very Big Brother. Because it's not a matter of just studying this stuff. You know, there's never studies like this done in a vacuum. This is going to be used. The question is how? What are they going to do? Are they looking to control, as is suggested here, the nation's political dialogue? I would say that they are. And it's really no surprise. You know, there was a poll that came out that said 60% of Americans want a new political party. 60%. That's a lot of people. And the powers that be are doing everything they can to maintain the status quo. Now, you know, I know, the status quo isn't working. You know, and I know, that the status quo is fundamentally flawed, that things are still getting worse. We look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I love the fact they keep saying, oh, yeah, unemployment's down. Look, everything's peaches and cream and happy, smiley rainbows, and everything's great. Look at the unicorn over there. But the reality is things aren't great. And everybody knows it. There was a survey I had here, and I'm probably not going to be able to find it quickly enough, right here in Kentucky, asking if things are going the right way or the wrong way. And between May and September of this year, more people are saying things are going the wrong way. We know they're going the wrong way. People aren't stupid. You know, everything costs more. Your dollar isn't going as far as it used to. One of the things really not being talked about in the election cycle at all is how your privacy is being eviscerated. That's just gone. We're talking about going to war again. Oh, boy. Everybody's excited about that, right? I mean, these are the things that people want to talk about, but that the system is keeping people from talking about. So we had the sham of a debate with KET. Just about 2 weeks ago now. Maybe it was only a week ago. I can't remember. Yeah, it was a week ago, I guess. Feels like 2 weeks ago. And I don't know. Maybe I'm biased. But I didn't learn squat. I didn't hear squat. I heard no solutions put forward. I heard no answers. I heard accusations. I heard stupidity. And I kind of called that, too. And again, that's why I say I might be biased, because that's what I predicted. Because without the presence of an outside party, without the presence of a third party, no matter what that party is, the Democrats and Republicans always devolve back to knuckle-dragging, you're worse than I am. It has nothing to do with solutions or answers or any of that. It's that person's the devil. I'm not quite that bad, so you have to vote for me to keep the devil out. And they've got a pretty good gig going. I mean, I have to give it to them. They've successfully kept people from talking about the reality of the employment situation, the reality of our dollar, the reality of the NSA spying, of drones, of going to war again. Nobody's talking about these things. So credit where credit is due, they are successfully controlling a large portion of the conversation. You've got the news media, who is just been eviscerated, not doing their job because they don't even have the tools to do it. though there are other issues there too. I would say that there is also pressure. I've heard from one reporter that their editors won't let them report on certain things in this cycle. Really? Wow. Pretty bold. And of course, that was an off-the-record statement, so, you know, I won't say who it was. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that's going on. And the reality is we all know things are bad, right? I mean, we all know they're bad. Question is, what do we do about it? And I think that's really the key thing that needs to be talked about. How do we make things better? I've got a laundry list of suggestions. And if you'd like to chime in on some suggestions on how to make things better, you can do that by calling 858-683-1326, you know, after the break, when we take calls, which it's in about 15 minutes. I see we've got a number of folks lined up here, so just hang tight there, folks, and we will get to you. Let's see. The point is that we're going to be the ones who have to come out and say, listen, this is what we want. Politicians aren't going to say it. They're not going to do it. We know they're not going to say it. We know they're not going to do it. We've seen what they're going to say and what they're going to do. We've seen what they're going to say for the last 6, 8, 10 months. We've seen what they were going to do for the last decade or two. The only thing they've done is devalue the currency, eviscerate the economy, tear up the Bill of Rights, and put us in more wars. Now, if you like all that stuff, well, I guess things are going pretty good for you. But I would suggest that the 60% of Americans who say we need a new third party disagree with you. Then the question becomes, why is it that with 60% of the public saying we need a third party, why aren't there more independent and third party candidates successfully running for office? And that's an interesting question. Psychologically, there is a weird double standard that applies to third-party and independent candidates. It's a really, really weird thing. People will say, I agree with you 95%, but I disagree with you on this one thing, and so I can't be you. And they'll go back to their old ways, the place that they only agreed maybe 60 or maybe 70%, maybe 50%. It's an interesting phenomenon. I think it's in part due to proper triangulation. But it's interesting mainly to me because these groups that claim to be for or against a certain thing don't actually do anything other than talk about it. And that's because if they actually solve the problem, those people that were, you know, all about whoever except for that one issue would no longer have that issue to worry about. It's an interesting phenomenon, and it's all about triangulation, controlling the message. You know, we here in Kentucky had the debate last week, and they specifically changed the rules, not once, but twice, secretly. And actually, they changed it like 5 times, but they came up with the quote-unquote final draft. Actually, I think they came up with 3 different finals, but whatever. The point is, they kept telling anyone to keep alternate voices out. And it's not a unique thing. This is something happening all over the country this year. I think, and I may get the states mixed up, and I apologize ahead of time, but I know there are issues in Illinois and Florida. I'm trying to remember what other places. There's a handful of states where I've heard there are issues. There's some out west where there are new criteria being placed, and the criteria are being changed in the middle of the game. I won't say which state. I don't want to be wrong about it. But one state, I know they said you had to be polling at 10% in order to get into the debate. Well, candidate hits a 10%, and they're like, oh, well, when we said, you know, get 10%, we meant averaging at least 10%. So then, of course, the person who'd been ramping up and up and up and up and got the 10% was not invited because they hadn't gotten all the way there. I've got an article here from Massachusetts about candidates for governor, where they disinvited the independents, which when the media says independents, they mean not Democrats, not Republicans, from a debate. They were invited, and they were uninvited. You've got an instance, one of the states set the threshold so high or messed up the threshold so bad that no one qualified, but then they just waved a magic wand and invited just the Democrat and Republican. And this is what we're fighting against. Not to mention the fact that the D's and the R's are backed by big corporate donors. And so people oftentimes say, well, you know, I'd like to vote differently, but I don't know who this person is. And, you know, they haven't reached out to me. I haven't seen any ads on TV. Well, no, you haven't. You know how much an ad on television costs? If you want change, you got to make that change. You have to be the change. You can't just wait around until someone knocks on your door and says, hey, I'm the change. Come follow me. If you want things to change, you have to step up and do it. And with the understanding now, clearly, that the status quo, the establishment, the powers that be, are not going to play fairly. They're not going to play a fair game here. They set the rules, and the rules themselves were bad enough. They were already rigged rules. But if you even manage to get ahead in those rules and change them. And so now, fully knowing what the game is, it's up to each and every one of us to take the message out, to be the change, knowing that the game is stacked against us, but knowing we do it for the right reasons. Because I see we've got a number of callers in the queue. I know Dave wants to get on about Ebola. And folks, we'll be right back. Hang tight. You are listening to Liberty on Bright on the My View Matters Radio Network. We're going to take a break now and just a few minutes. We'll be back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. ErniesPrintShop.com,
502-969-8585. Yeah.
being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, folks, we're back. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters radio network. And I'm going to bring co-host Dave on here. Co-host Dave, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing all right. Hey, we've got a guest wanting to come on and speak, and figured we could go ahead and let them hop on here real quick if you're cool with that.
Absolutely. You want me to go ahead and do my Ebola rant real quick?
Let's see what Randolph. I believe this is Randolph. Let's see what Randolph.
Hey, what's up,
today. Randolph?
Yep.
How you doing?
Yep. I'm doing all right. Yeah. You know what? I actually did learn something from the debate on Monday night. I learned a cool new word.
Yeah. That seems to be the main takeaway from the debate.
Here's where Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Let's put this into context. Mitch McConnell is describing the effect that Obamacare has on hospitals. And he uses a word which, well, I guess, you know what, Ken, you say it, since I feel dirty saying it.
I'm not going to say it. I mean, technically, apparently somebody did the research and found out that rimracked actually is like some old Navy term. But go ahead.
Well, it's also an Urban Dictionary term for a vulgar sexual act.
Well, yeah, there's that, too.
Yeah, there's that, too. Had Mitch McConnell just said, hey, nurses are getting laid off in hospitals and losing their jobs, there wouldn't have been this controversy. I think he was trying to use that word as a soundbite, and it backfired horribly. Well, it backfired because I was on Twitter like 15 seconds after he said it, and I hashtagged it, and I said, wow, did he just come up with the name for a porno movie?
Well, I know that the debate, you're actually right. The main thing that came away from the debate was the use of the word rimracked. That was the main thing that everyone seemed to take away. And, boy, I'm sure betting KET is proud that they brought Kentucky rimracked.
That's all I got to say about it. I tell you what, I'll let some other callers. You got any other callers in the queue?
Well, we do, but real quick, I just want to say, you could make the case that KET rimracked Kentucky. Anyway.
I don't really want to go that far.
All right. Well, Randolph, I'm going to throw you back on the hold queue here.
I'm going to go ahead and let you go and let others talk.
All right.
You have a great show, man. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. See you, Randolph. All right. So, Dave, let's hear Ebola, brother. Let's go.
All righty. So, I am, for the listeners that don't know, I'm in Texas right now. I've been here for a little bit. And we are attempting to set up another residence. So we are really getting into, you know, the area and what's going on. So I've been reading the Houston Chronicle all day or all week. And it started to bug me last week that I was seeing Ebola on the front page as the main story, the feature article, every single day. And so I got to thinking about it. I was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and keep these and just let's see just how bad this actually is, you know, because I'm getting inundated with it in my social media and whatnot. So maybe it's just that. Well, it's not. I'm going to read the headlines for the feature article starting on Monday. Monday, Ebola spread in Dallas elevates public fears. Tuesday, Ebola training will undergo shakeup. Wednesday, Texas abortion clinics can reopen. Hey, look, we got something different. That was nice. It was like, oh, okay, finally we're getting away from it. Oh, nope, wait, here comes Thursday. Another misstep in the Ebola battle. Friday, health officials try to ease lawmakers' fears on Ebola. And Saturday, UTMB moves to front line in battle against Ebola. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So I got
really.
To wondering just how big of a deal is this really? Because I was like, wow, this is major. And I'm not going to discount, you know, how dangerous it could be, but lots of things could be tremendously dangerous and pose significant threat to all Americans. So I thought, you know, I'm going to look at some things that maybe we should be concerned about and just see how they stack up. As of right now, we have one confirmed death due to Ebola and three confirmed cases of Ebola in the United States. All right. So keep those numbers in mind. One death, three confirmed cases. Well, if you take a look at how many people die in accidents every year, car accidents on the road, you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 35,000 just in the United States. That's a pretty big deal. But that pales in comparison to the Americans that die from heart attacks and strokes due to cardiovascular disease. That number is 1.5 million. 1.5 million. Are you shitting me? Sorry. You know, and we're talking about Ebola every day? Come on. And so I was like, okay, well, let me take a look at something else where the numbers match up to see, you know, I mean, are we really going way off the reservation here? What's up? And so I found something that's pretty similar. Remember, we have one death and three confirmed cases. 0.5 individuals in the United States die every year from shark attacks. There's about one death every 2 years. And there are approximately 36 reported cases yearly in the United States of a shark attack. And once I saw that, I compared it again to the hysteria about Ebola. I just wanted to go pound my head into a brick wall. And that's all I got to say about that. But if anybody wants to talk to me about something dangerous, please, please talk to me about shark attacks before you talk to me about Ebola. Okay, that's all.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I do think, you know, the thing with the Ebola mess, and it is definitely a lot of news coverage for something that has been comparatively nothing. I agree with you there. You know, the reality is that it is an infectious disease. It actually speaks to a broader point, which I think is kind of interesting, regarding immigration and controlling the borders. And, you know, I personally think that this is an instance where if, you know, I certainly understand the desire for people to leave a bad place with disease if they've got the disease and go somewhere where they can seek medical attention. But certainly from a country's own self-interest, it makes sense to say, yeah, no, don't come here with your crazy disease. Thank you. I think we've spent...
Okay.
Hang on. Let me finish the thought. Because I know you disagree with me on that. My big problem with it more than anything is, holy cow, the expense. You know, and I don't want to seem crass, but in some ways I feel like this is kind of the same thing with the reporters that get beheaded by ISIS, right? Dude, you knew what you were walking into. I mean, it wasn't like you were like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to Africa. It's all awesome there, and I'm just going on a vacation. Dude, you went there to fight diseases and everything else, and that is very, very admirable. Make no mistake. But your decision shouldn't put other people at risk. And I don't think that we should be bending over backwards, flying private jets around with, you know, teams of people in hazmat suits and all this craziness for one dude.
I mean, I don't want to seem callous. I don't want to seem crass, but, man, that's on the taxpayer dime. You put yourself there. Why did I just have to pay God knows how much for a super special plane to get you home to get super special treatment after you put yourself in a bad situation? Now you can go ahead, Dave.
All right, so I didn't think that it would be you. I thought that it would be somebody else, but I came to the show prepared tonight just in case somebody was like, oh, hey, Dave, shark attacks, that's just not comparable. We're talking about an infectious disease here. So, okay, well, in that case, Ken, let's talk West Nile. There are 579 cases of West Nile in the United States so far this year, 2014 alone, and so far 23 deaths.
Yes.
So,
oh no, I'm not discounting. It's all about inherent risk, or I'm trying to think of how to say this. I mean, dude, people die from the flu all the time. I mean, seriously, you know, there's probably been. I can guarantee there's been more people who have died from the flu this year. There's been more people that died from that enterovirus 68, whatever the heck it was, this year than Ebola, right? My point though is that if you know that somebody's got a disease that's potentially extremely infectious, and based on the numbers right now, at least in Africa, it's got a 70% kill rate or mortality rate, and they think even in a modern country, it's going to have about a 50% mortality rate. That's kind of a big deal. I mean, to intentionally bring it to your shores is kind of – it's one thing to catch a cold. It's another thing to intentionally bring a disease on purpose.
I agree with that, but unfortunately, that is not what we're hearing about. We're hearing about everything surrounding the disease. It's just there's this mass hysteria over it, and it's just driving me insane because there are so many. And don't get me wrong, I don't intend to devalue the man's life that died from Ebola or the people that have come down with it. I'm not trying to devalue the importance because every individual life is important. But when you're talking about the entire country engaged in a national debate and conversation, I would say, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you that intentionally pulling people into an uninfected area with the infectious disease is wrong and isn't worth talking about. Absolutely, that's worth talking about. But the rest of it just isn't. It's just not.
Yeah.
There's so many more important things to talk about.
Oh, I agree with you. I 100% agree with that. And I actually was going to take the next step, and I'm going to tie it back to my earlier part of the show when I was doing it by myself there, the monologue part or whatever. I think it's a distraction. I think it's an intentional distraction. I think it's one that distracts us from real issues, things that people actually care about, like, you know, how the unemployment numbers are completely bogus. Can't talk about how the unemployment numbers are totally bogus when the front lines are covered with Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. Which I don't know if you say that three times fast, does that bring Beetlejuice? Or anyway, the point is that I think that we have a media that is distracted, I think in part intentionally. We're not talking about the things that people – I mean, coming into election season, all through last year, what did we care about? We cared about taxes and spending. We cared about the Fourth Amendment violations. We cared about all these freaking wars over in the Middle East that we're just tired of being involved with, and we keep making things worse. We've talked about all these things all through last year, and then the election cycle happens. And now – we're talking about coal, guns. What is it, McConnell's slogan? Coal, guns, and something or other. The coal thing, McConnell's already in the Senate. That's not going to change anything.
Coal, guns, and rim rack.
Yeah, I don't think that's the official slogan. But, you know, the reality is on the gun side of things, man, there's nothing going on other than the fact that the agencies are arming themselves to the teeth, the bureaucracies. But nobody's talking about that part of it. You know, why is it that the EPA needs a SWAT team? Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about the fact that our police forces are being militarized and they're all getting these MRAPs. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about things that people actually do care about. They've all engaged in this national distraction of Ebola, these national distractions of things that, in the end, as you say, don't matter in the grand scheme of things. There are greater threats to our individual lives and liberty than Ebola. I agree with you there.
Yeah. So let's move on and talk about something more important.
Okay.
Unless we're going to refer to it. I promise you on this show, I will try to remember. I can't promise. I will try to remember. Every time that comes up, I'm just going to start referring to it as Coca-Cola. I can't think of anything else to do with it. I just need to forget about it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's out there, and there are real policy discussions that need to happen. You know, immigration was a hot topic at the beginning of this campaign. That's all but fallen by the wayside. You know, we really do need to have a national conversation about immigration policy because our policy is insane. It's not working. We know it's not working. This would have been a perfect opportunity to talk about, okay, well, here's why we do want to have something at the border, because we don't want people with nasty diseases to just meander into the population. But that's not even what happened in this scenario. We actually flew someone into our population on purpose. You know, there are so many things that need to be talked about, things that need to be discussed, things that need to be out in the public discourse that neither the Democrats nor Republicans want to talk about because neither of their hands are clean on those issues. Neither of them. Wars in the Middle East, they've both voted for them. You know, taking away our Fourth Amendment, they've both voted for that. These are the issues that we as Americans are concerned about and should be concerned about, but that no one's talking about because the media won't let anybody get a word in edgewise.
I do think that the blame, if you will, does lie on the media. But at this point, at this stage in the game, watching what's happening, I almost can't stand to read the newspaper anymore. And that's really sad for me because I prefer that. I really do prefer to read my news. And I prefer to read my news in a way that, you know, I can get my hands on it. So, you know, reading it on a tablet or something like that, that makes a lot of sense to me, and I do like doing that. I enjoy doing that, but I really like having something for when I can't get access to Wi-Fi or, you know, cellular data, you know, or something like that. I really prefer to have it. And at this point, it's just it's almost impossible to read anymore. And it doesn't, you know, I'm not trying to pick on the Houston Chronicle here, because they're one of many, 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 you know, that do this. All of the newspapers, you know, do this. It just drives me insane. I have to go looking for my news elsewhere because they're not talking about things that are actually important and affect our lives anymore. They're just engaging in this. And actually, it's funny. I really am picking on the Houston Chronicle. Sorry, Chronicle. I just ran into an article of theirs. It's big hot news, you know, right now, about the DNC and President Obama blaming the GOP for fear-mongering, for just spreading fear. You know, that's all the GOP is doing. It's like, well, okay, what is it that we're seeing here then? You know, if that's true, because there's definitely fear-mongering going on. There's definitely distraction, you know, happening. But last time I checked, the GOP and the DNC don't directly publish the news.
Right.
So there is still yet an entire industry here, you know, that I don't know if they've just lost their moral compass or what. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a really good question, and boy, does that open up a can of worms. I mean, you know, the media has gone through some pretty major, major changes in the last decade. You know, it used to be that when you saw an article in print, for on the nightly news, it was pretty reasonably reliable. There might be a little bit of spin. There might be a little bit, sure. But overall, you didn't expect there to be a bias, at least not a strong one. And everybody kind of knew where those biases were. I think today...
Unless you're reading a commentary.
Well, right, right. And that's what commentaries are for. But what we're seeing now is editors controlling what gets printed. What you're seeing now is pay for play, right? Well, a lot of emphasis has been put on how much money is raised now and how much money is going to be spent. You know, earlier this year in the Senate race, there was a fake candidate for U.S. Senate. Didn't live in the state, was never actually a real candidate, couldn't be legally a real candidate. And the media went gaga over him. Well, why? Well, ironically, it's because they were talking about too much money being in political campaigns. But then at the same time, they apply a standard of, well, you haven't raised enough money, so you're not legit. And the real reason they went gaga over it at all is because it was $20,000 they were promising to spend in advertising in the state of Kentucky for this campaign. And that's what they were really after, was the ad money. And I think that that's the problem at this point, is that the media has changed to simply chasing the ad revenue and has gotten desperate, given that the economy is bad. They've been hurt by it as well. They've basically sold their souls to the money rolling in. And certainly as corporations, I understand, but, you know, I don't know about you. I would pay money for a newspaper that actually kept me informed. I would pay for that.
I'd be all over it. That's exactly what I was getting at. I don't, and just to be clear right now, the place that we're staying provides the newspapers. I would not pay for what I'm reading.
Yeah. And that's not unique to just that paper. I mean, you know, when I was in high school, or right after high school, a friend of mine and I used to go out, and we were just kind of, you know, whatever, hanging out. But we'd go buy a newspaper and read the paper, hang out, drink coffee, you know, whatever. The idea of doing that today seems so far-fetched because there's nothing that is learned from the newspaper. And I think there's a couple of things that they're facing as well. They also have the pressure of the internet and blogs, and they did not respond to that very quickly or very well. So, you know, the blogs, the internet media got a good foothold in. But then instead of – and I told several reporters this. You know, their edge was that they were legit, right? They could get the stories that a blogger can't get because – they're legit. They can go interview people. They can go dig deeper. They actually have the credentials, real information, and put it out there. And they failed to do it. Instead, they lowered their standards, and basically they're just a blog with it that's on print. And, dude, I can get a blog on the internet for free. I can get anybody's opinion. Everybody's got those.
Right.
I mean, that's what I think the real problem is at this point, is that media has lost its way. And until the media figures out that, hey, you know, what people actually want is the news, they're not going to do well. And certainly there are changes that are occurring in media. Televised media was revolutionized by cable news. And then again, by more the Fox News types, the edutainment type thing that they call it. Yeah, these are all things that are changing over time, certainly. But there are ways to survive out there, and there is a yearning for real information, vetted information, detailed information. You know, not some hastily thrown together, poorly edited, full of typos, BS fluff piece. Dude, I can get that anywhere, literally anywhere. I can log on to Facebook right now and get that.
I'd like to put out a petition to our listeners here. Anybody that knows of any news outlets that actually participate and engage in objective journalism, call in and let us know.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be nice. I see, by the way, we have a few people in the queue. If you want to actually come on and chat, if more than just listen, press the one key. Let me know. Sometimes Blog Talk's kind of funny about that, but make sure it says you're in the queue. If that's what you want to do, if you just want to listen, that's cool too. That's exactly it, right? I mean, there is a yearning for real information out there. You know, in the political context, this is the funniest part of all, right? In a political context, there's been a fight over jobs and all this stuff, right? And there was the big flap McConnell early on said, well, creating jobs isn't my job. And the Grimes campaign made a big deal out of it, but that's kind of fallen all by the wayside. One thing nobody ever brought up was that McConnell actually voted for the light bulb ban, the incandescent light bulb ban. And that actually, that did kill Kentucky jobs, period. There was a plant that used to manufacture light bulbs, incandescent light bulbs in Kentucky. That's gone. It killed jobs. That, I think, is actual real political fodder that would be appropriate. But because Democrats also back that, you aren't going to hear that out of the Democratic side. And that's the kind of stuff that gets lost. That's the kind of stuff that people want to know. I see one of our callers has chimed in here. Dave, hang on a second. I'm going to bring him on. Yeah. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, Ken. I went to the Tea Party event, and the American Family Association passed out a list of approved candidates. As you know, there's about 50 judges or so that we have to choose between. And it's interesting also that in terms of the U.S. Senate, they mentioned McConnell and Grimes and no other candidate.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, the American Family Association, you know, they're against, you know, people who approve of gay marriage, and they're pro-life and stuff like that. So I'm going to be taking this, and I'll be using this in terms of the opposite way that I'm supposed to be doing it by them.
Well,
but,
and I have to ask, you said you went to a Tea Party event. Now, the AFA actually started the KFA, Kentucky Family Association,
yeah,
started their own Tea Party in Louisville. So there's actually two different Tea Parties in Louisville. There's the Louisville Tea Party, and then there's the Tea Party that's kind of the KFA Tea Party. Which Tea Party were you at?
Well, this one had Massey there and Bevin there.
I don't know. Okay.
And I think basically they were trying to be ecumenical because they allowed also for some Patterson stickers to be there as well. But the main point that I want to make is that I think that would be good that we have a list next election, because they want Kentuckians to vote for every single political office, and somehow information does not get out about, you know, who are the good people to vote for. And this is, you know, this kind of thing is something that has to get out there. So that people can bring it to the polls and things like that. So
sounds like you're volunteering for that job, Don.
Well, I really don't know. I mean, I go to the poll. I've been to the polls twice, and then there's a list of all these people in offices I never even heard of. So I'm just saying it would be a good thing to have. And, you know, just to know. And by the way, there's a big movement now. Republicans and Tea Party are working on trying to grab the Kentucky House. And a lot of very big names in the Tea Party are running for state representatives.
I'm aware of that. They
and I don't think it's a bad idea.
Well, we only have 6 minutes left in the show, and I can't go into all the details, but the very short version is the Republicans could have already had the state house. They could have had it 2 years ago. They didn't like the type of Republicans that got through the primary. There were too many of those Tea Party types that got through. The reality is the Republican Party is only interested in getting their people in. And yeah. anybody who is not part of their inside circle, anybody who's an outsider, even though they are a Republican, isn't really wanted. They may be tolerated. They may be allowed to sit at the table, but they really don't want them to have a voice. And that's, you know, having watched this for many years, it's almost laughable when they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to take the House. And it's like, dude, you could have taken the House 2 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, if you had just let – you know, the people that you didn't really want there, the quote-unquote wrong type of Republican, to get through the primary process. But that's, that's not, you know, that's up to them and their party, man. You know, that's it's they are not – I always like to say the one thing that Republicans are good at is snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've been to many public events recently, and they have a lot of people passing out grime stickers and sticking them on people's shirts and stuff like that. And it seems that this is not something McConnell people, Republicans, want to do.
You know, in the state of Kentucky, Democrats have always had a better ground game. I've witnessed this a number of times. That is, by the way, they talked about how the DSCC was pulling out of Kentucky. They're just changing tactics is what's going on, and they are now focusing solely on the ground game, trying to use the Organizing for America model to get people out and get them to vote. I don't know that it's really going to work, but, you know, whatever. Again, not my party, but the point is...
It might have worked, but they changed tactics too late.
Well, and I think that, Dave, that's actually the key thing. Is let's use the last few minutes here to talk about the Senate race and the other two, McConnell and Grimes. You know, the one thing McConnell has done right is he got on the message that, you know, Obama needs Grimes, Kentucky needs McConnell, and he has beat that drum for 3 months solid. I mean, or more. I mean, just solidly beat that drum. Grimes' campaign has had like 17 different themes in the same period of time, none of which have really stuck or resonated. And, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of low information voters out there. There are a lot of people who are very affected by those bumper sticker slogans. And the Grimes campaign never found a bumper sticker slogan. So basically right now, this race is it is an interesting thing because McConnell is not well liked, but he's in the lead according to the polls. And I do question some of those polls. I question their methodology. I also think that people are kind of polled out. I mean, my God, I don't know, the week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, I had like four polls in one day. And I'm like, really? Four polls in one day? Now, I answer all the polls because I don't care. But this seems a little excessive to have four in one day. And then some of those polls were push polls as well. Heard from a lot of people around the state that when they tried to answer David Patterson as their candidate, they were told that he was not a candidate. They were told that they weren't voting then. They were told lots of things. So it's definitely an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, and then when they mention, you know, all over the country, they'll say independents. They won't say libertarians, and we're about the only people, you know, running people. So it's just amazing how these news organizations and polls just will not mention the word libertarian. If you could hold a fire to them, they wouldn't say it.
No, and you're exactly right, Don. And I thank you for your call because we only got a couple minutes left, and I want to get Dave's final thoughts in here. Thank you, Don. Dave, final thoughts.
Don brings up a couple of really good points, but what I think of, you know, he's talking about the lists. I'm all about private organizations, you know, coming up with lists of people that they endorse and would like for you to vote for. I'm all about that. But in principle, I do have a bit of a problem with it. I would never use one of those lists myself because I like to educate myself on the candidates, who they are, and why I should vote for them. I've never in my entire life voted for someone because I didn't want to vote for somebody else. I've only ever voted for someone that I could vote for. And I think the lists are a good idea, but I think that they're a good idea to help people come to that conclusion for themselves. my suggestion would be never to vote for, you know, these people on this list that I'm giving to you, but rather to vote your conscience. And if you're interested in the reasons why they're on this list, then by all means, please do look into that. And of course, if I was putting out a list, it would have a bunch of people that people need to educate themselves on, because they're the people that the media ignores.
Yeah, well, and that's unfortunately sorely needed with the media that is ignored. And Dave, I'm going to give final thoughts and wrap this thing up because we're about out of time. Folks, you know, the point is that we have an individual responsibility to do better, to vote better, to choose better, to look into the issues, and to be the voice, to be the ones that make change happen. And it doesn't happen overnight. Change that happens overnight is radical and scary and never lasting. We want good change. We want solid change, positive change, not change for the sake of change, but change that's good and healthy for the country. And that takes each and every one of us. And that's what it's going to take to fix things. Folks, we're out of time for the week. I thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week for another edition of Liberty Unbridled here on the My View Matters Network, and listen to the other shows on the network. We're here Sunday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Until next time, folks, have a good week. We will see you next week, just before the election, I think. We're getting real close. Take care, folks. Have a good week.